from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Spain, Canada is a good game. We got a 1-point game, 2.7 left. Canada called a timeout.
Big shot. Hey, James. Big shot.
You know how I knew nothing was going to ruin my Friday? Was on my way up here. So I came up a little early today because, as you know, with an electric car, it's still relatively new in the scope of the car invention universe.
Mm-hmm.
So finding a place to charge isn't as easy as finding a gas station necessarily.
No.
And between just the way it stinks, there's Electrify America is the account I have right now for charging. There's a ton of them. They're like, you open the app and you just kind of zoom out. They're everywhere. My problem is the route I take home, my fastest route home,
mm-hmm.
is just through a dead zone between kind of where,
oh yeah,
all of these, and naturally it makes sense. They put them in heavily populated areas. So people, when they're going to go to Target or Walmart or to the Roosevelt Galleria, they can just pull up, plug in, and go do stuff.
Yep.
They don't just have it on the side of 160 where I'm driving. Not a lot of electric car action in Isleton, it turns out. So I've been, after the show, because I can't charge at home just yet. We're awaiting our level 2 charger, which actually allows it to charge, versus if you just plug it into the wall, it's like,
oh, you get like
5 miles every hour.
3% an hour is usually like typical for one.
Which is basically nothing. If I charge overnight, I can get halfway to work.
Yeah.
So I'm having to strategically charge at the right times to make sure I have enough to get home and then back to work the next day. And so I had enough to get up here, but I wasn't going to have enough to get home. So I was going to have to charge after the show. And that's, you know, and I got to go find one and it's hot. I got to go find one that's available. Not a great time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go up in the morning. I'm just going to go down to the Galleria. I'm going to read a book and sit in my car while the car charges.
Mm-hmm.
Because another issue is when it's hot outside, you can't just sit in your car unless you want to turn the car on, but then it's charging slower and you're spending more money to charge the car. So I've been having to go walk around. Like I said, I've walked around Target. I've walked around the Galleria. I've gone for a walk and grabbed a coffee. But I went, in the morning, I'm going to go where it's cool and I can sit in my car. And so I was fired up this morning. I'm like, hey, I think this new thing is going to be fun. I love little changes to my day. And just a little change to the routine. And I knew I was picking up donuts today. It's a Friday. Friday vibes are always good. On my way down here, I drove over a skunk that had been hit. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but when you do that, it smells like a skunk is in your car just letting it rip.
With your new car.
With my brand new car.
Oh, no.
And so I was driving, and usually when that happens, I'm like, oh, and I like hit the cycle air thing, and I trying to get it out, and I'm rolling down my windows to try and get the... Nope. It was just like, dang, that sucks, but you know what? Nothing's killing my vibe today. Vibes are up. Vibes are good. If that had happened on a Wednesday, oof.
I've told you we've had skunks in the basement, and they're fine. Like, they... Skunks, in, like, normally they're fine, but then if they get in fights, then it's on. And so you'll wake up in the middle of the night, and it's
dude.
Like, it really...
In the house?
Well underneath. So we're on a hill, and it's way down low, but it's burnt tires. Like a tire is on fire. You wake up, and, like, your eyes are watering, and it's mm-hmm. so bad. So we had to have, like, the skunk man come out and put, like, a one-way door in. So once they get in, they go out the one-way door, and then they can't get back in.
Yeah.
They bust out the vents. They're clever little fellows. So,
dang. What a weird thing that skunks fight and they're like, I'm going to make you smell bad.
Maybe.
The worst part about like the direct, because we live on a, we always joke that we live on the water. There's a creek behind our house. we have waters that beachfront property. And so there's a lot of, you know, wildlife in the area.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And so there'll be a skunk will spray outside and you can smell it, but it's not like, it's like, ooh, skunky, gross.
Yeah.
But if it's in your basement.
Oh no, it takes
or
like,
when you drive over, it's like thick
oh, yeah.
in the nostrils.
It's like 4 days to clear it out. Oh no, it's bad. Our backyard is a
awful.
Soup kitchen. We have baby deer. Like almost every day we've got a new baby deer.
Don't call it a soup kitchen. Don't call it that.
It's the same.
Have you ever seen the other guys?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
No. No, that's what I mean. Like you go out in the backyard and I literally have
Dirty
baby
Mike and the boys.
Baby deers walking up between my house and my neighbor's house. Every day there's a new set. Sometimes the mamas get all protective, especially when we have the dogs out.
Oh my god!
And you have to be super careful. But it's so hot. We've been putting out water for the baby deer. But we'll probably have like 8 or 10 baby deer in the backyard every year.
Oh,
that are born.
Oh,
like
adorable.
We have baby deer all the time.
That's cool.
Yeah. We've had foxes in the backyard.
Foxes low key adorable. Underrated cute animal.
It's very similar to my corgi.
I want no smoke with a fox, totally clear.
And most people don't want any smoke with my corgi either. Like, she's a vicious little creature.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Very similar look, though.
There's corgi. Always those things of, like, what animals would you fight? And I say I want no smoke with a fox, but push come to shove, I'm kicking. Like, I'm turning that thing into a football.
Okay, that's fine, but you don't want any smoke with a mama deer with her babies. Because
no,
they start stomping
not.
At you.
Yeah, absolutely
and it's
not.
Like, oh, no. Like,
well,
back
because
up.
You can't, like, I don't want to get deep into this. The logistics of trying to fight a deer, that thing is adapted to run away from, like, lions.
Yeah.
And things like, and wolves.
Yes.
What do you think Kyle Madsen is going to do to a deer?
That get kicked.
Yeah,
a lot.
Getting smoked.
Like they'll jump up and kick.
It's not
like
it's not like because in theory you're going, yeah, you want to get that deer in a rear naked choke. But the ability to get, it's not just going to stand there and let me have its back. It's going to, yeah, no. I want
Full Nelson.
Zero
Full Nelson.
Zero smoke with a deer. But a fox comes at me, yeah, I'll punt. I'm going to kick it.
Yeah, see, Jim Garfinkel in the chat is talking about mountain lions. Every once in a while, there's a mountain lion in the area, and that gets... Mountain lions, first of all, they have a 100-mile territory that they cover, and they are vicious creatures. They like to kill things and then leave it, and then come back and visit it a couple of days later. So it's very unpleasant. They're very wasteful. Yeah.
Charismatic Enigma in the chat said he does pest control for a living. And has to crawl under people's houses where he deals with things like skunks.
Oh, yeah.
And soup kitchens.
Oh, yeah. It's not
Sounds
great.
Sounds awful.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, though. That's one of those jobs.
They're always so pleasant.
I would be the worst human alive if that was my job. And the fact that, A, they have the fortitude to deal with bugs.
Yep.
I'm out. If I'm not squishing it with a napkin, no.
Okay.
Crawling under someone's house? No.
I'm not doing
I'm
that.
I'm not built. They're built diff. And then they're always, like you said, always nice. I've never had a rude pest control person.
Oh, yeah. The pest control
never
guy
once.
Comes out. He has the feather duster, like
yep.
super long one.
Yep.
He cleans my eaves.
Yep.
We live on a, it's a man-made lake.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a man-made lake, I guess it increases like the spider population because you've basically like disrupted their natural habitat. And so you end up with all kinds of small bugs. And
what's the worst job you've ever had?
Like cleaning carpet. That was bad.
Oof.
That was bad. I for like a very short amount of time, I did what they call ready rinse, where someone moves out of an apartment, you go in, you scrub everything down, you repaint the inside of the apartment, you clean the carpets, and you get ready for the next one. That was bad. That was bad.
I imagine your mileage varies on that. Like, there's some people, whoever had to clean out our last apartment, it was fine. Like, we're not, but I imagine,
like, that's not how it is with everyone.
Right. I imagine that there are some,
especially
not
for
so nice places to walk
low
into.
Budget apartments where it wasn't like they should have replaced the carpet in like 1978.
Oh, so they just don't,
now the 90s.
The actual apartment complex doesn't take care of
it. Oh, yeah. So it's just like building, you know, it's filth upon filth. Yeah. It's
my
horrible.
My very first job, my mom worked at a skilled nursing facility. I would get up at 5 a.m. on Sundays. Now, keep in mind, I'm 16 years old at the time. So you have a 16-year-old. Do you see what time he wakes up during the summer?
It's 2 o'clock.
2, 3 p.m.
Yes.
So imagine getting him out of bed at 5 a.m. That's where I was.
Oh, yeah.
To drive down to the skilled nursing facility. The laundry people, I was a laundry guy. The laundry people left, I think they clocked out at 5 p.m., 5 or 6 p.m. And then, it was 6 p.m. Because 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., what happens when there's soiled laundry is it gets tossed in a plastic bag and tossed into this little closet in the laundry room that I would then have to go in and get everything in the morning.
Kyle, that's not a job I would want.
Start running loads of laundry.
No, that's not a job I want.
It built a lot of character for me.
Yeah.
It let me know what I didn't want to do in life, which
is
nice.
Yes.
I got to work with some really, really great people.
Mm-hmm.
But walking in as a 16-year-old into that laundry room on a Sunday morning?
No.
Their little norovirus breakout?
No, Kyle. I won't do it.
Outbreak? Outbreak, not breakout.
Norovirus
breakout.
I won't do it, Kyle.
Don't. No, you don't want to do that.
My first job, I worked at Big Ace Drive-In in Grass Valley. It's very well known in Grass Valley. It was an old A&W converted. Yeah.
Nice.
Flip burgers.
Matt said he's an inspector, which is better because he doesn't have to spray the bugs.
Oh.
He just gets to speak to cool homeowners and give them info. Hell yeah.
There you go.
Pull up, dude. We'll chit-chat. We have a pest guy, but if you want to come hang out.
All right. Just always willing to talk. Maybe you do switch pest guys.
First,
yeah. Right. Wild.
Somebody said you don't want to be a busser at Korean barbecue.
Oh. Okay. Mm.
That's a lot. That's so many dishes. I go to Korean barbecue. I'm there for a while.
Yeah.
They just, it's like, what meats would you like? Pause. And I'm like, all of them. Just
the meats.
Just send out as many as we can get.
Yeah.
It's like, there's like 12 options. Like send out one through, I can get three. Send out one through three. And when you see one of them cleared, pull up and we'll let you know that we're ready for number four.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dude. I go in at some Korean barbecue. Oof, it's delicious. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors the show. We have a couple of River Cats things coming up this week. Tomorrow. Oh, my God. Tomorrow. How are we feeling?
I feel good. I went out and I threw probably 30 or 40 pitches again yesterday. Maybe
great.
More. 40, 50.
James is throwing out the first pitch of the River Cats game tomorrow.
Yep. I could be a long reliever at this point.
Yeah. Ask him. After you throw your first pitch, be like, hey, can I get in the bullpen?
Yeah.
Give me a call. Let me know when you need the righty.
That's right.
Okay. Very good. Throwing program going well. Happy to hear it.
Yep.
Are you nervous? Excited? Indifferent?
I'm like, oh, no,
you
know, this is
you
fun.
Exist sans anxiety.
Yeah, like,
so this is just, you're just floating.
Like, maybe when I get out there, I'll be like, oh, this is interesting. Like, this is, like, exciting and...
Let me prepare you for something.
Okay.
You're going to stand there and Orphan Andrew is his name, is their MC, and he's going to go, hey, come over here. Really nice guy. Super cool. Enjoyed hanging out. He's going to go, come over here. They'll run kind of through the instructions. You'll wait at the baseline and then he'll say like, all right, go ahead. And then the announcer is going to start saying James Hamm, and he's Sacramento a fixture and
whatever.
Kings beat 13-20 the Insiders, blah, blah, blah. He's going to start talking. And in your brain, you're going to go, okay, I have this walk from the third baseline to the mound. Then I have to get up the mound. And by the time I get there, he's definitely going to be done talking. No, no. He's not going to be done talking. Because it turns out he has not started doing your little intro thing. And then the little intro thing is going to start. And it is going to go so much longer than you expect it to.
Oh, really?
Yes. So it's not a bad thing.
Okay.
It's nice. You're just out there and they're pumping you up and they're telling you how great you are and to listen to the show. And you're just like, yeah, hell yeah. Just waving, little hat tip, whatever. It's just, I'm preparing you now. It's going to go on longer than you think it's going to go. He's not going to go, from ESPN 1320, the Insiders and the Kings beat, James Hamm.
Okay.
It's going to be like a short bio.
It's going to be like a minute.
It's going to be an intermission. It's going to be a song. Yeah, dude. So be prepared. Get out there, rivercats.com. You can get your tickets. Go hang out at Sutter Health Park. James will be there throwing the first pitch tonight, and then he's going to be hanging out at the game.
6:37 start, yeah. Saturday night.
Yeah, get some good food, some good beer, and enjoy some good baseball. Speaking of good baseball, and speaking of the Rivercats, August 16th,
mm-hmm.
That's Friday after next. So in 2 weeks from today, ESPN 1320 is going to have a suite at Sutter Health Park, and we are inviting you to hang out with us. We're giving away two tickets every day this week and then every day next week. You can enter at ESPN1320.com. You're going to hear us give a keyword. We'll give it a couple times throughout the show. You're going to go enter that keyword at ESPN1320.com, and you will be entered to win two tickets to the Rivercats game in the ESPN 1320 suite on August 16th. So keep an eye out, keep an ear out for that. I'm not going to try and do the tease thing where I'm going to, I hope you stick around and listen to the show, but we're going to give the keyword next segment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're just going to give it at the top of every segment moving forward.
Okay. That sounds good.
The reason we do these things is because the goal is to tease, like, hey, we got this thing coming up so people will keep listening. I'm putting faith in our listeners that they're just going to keep listening anyway. I'm putting my faith in you guys.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. The NFL season sort of kicked off last night. The preseason kicked off last night. My least favorite thing is, quote, football is back. Because we get it when OTAs start. Football's yep. back. Oh, but then OTAs and minicamp end, and then players and coaches are gone for 40 days. But then rookies start reporting to training camp. And, oh, football is back. But then training camp actually starts like in earnest. Like the veterans get there and they're working out and they're doing stuff. Okay, football, it's back. And then the Hall of Fame game, which took place last night in Canton, Ohio. Football's back, baby.
It always feels like that game comes out of nowhere.
We hit me like a freight train yesterday.
Yeah, we had, like, we didn't even game plan for it.
No clue.
Yeah. Like, it was like, during the show, we're like, oh, no.
To be clear, we wouldn't have talked about it.
Yeah.
I have no thoughts on the Bears or Texans second and third stringers. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. I've got nothing for you. Caleb Williams didn't even play. Or at least not by the time I had turned the game on. 21-17, Bears beat the Texans because football is back. But then football is going to be back in week one of the preseason because that's the real start of the preseason. But then football is also going to be back on Thursday night in the season opener. And then on Sunday, football is going to be back. But then you're going to have people tell you that football is not officially back until week one wraps up with Monday Night Football. That's 49ers and Jets at Levi Stadium.
Oh,
that's when football will be back. It's like, dude. It's exhausting. 21-17, Bears beat the Texans. 3:31 left in the third quarter. They called the game because of weather.
I'm here for that.
Same. That's 36 minutes it took them. They let writers and broadcasters and players and fans sit around the stadium for more than half an hour before going, hey, you know what? We're just going to call this. This storm system's not going to, we're just calling it.
Okay, so I was part of like the longest pregame show in the history of pregame shows. It was me, Jim Cosmore, and Jerry Reynolds. We were in studio.
When?
This happened maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Kings were in Philadelphia. Well, no, let's see. 2000.
Oh, was this the raining inside game?
2015, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been longer than that. No, it was raining. Okay, I don't think it was raining outside. The humidity spiked outside, but someone had left a door open with the air conditioner on, and it pulled all the moist air into the building because they left a big set of double doors open, and it glazed the court.
Ew.
So the court was like covered in Kyle just totally losing his mind. It covers the floor, and like players went to warm up, and they're like, "Hey, something's wrong with the court. It's all slick. Are you back?
I'm back.
Are you back?
I'm here.
So it's the game where, like, we're sitting there, and they keep coming back to us, and then like we're sitting there, and like, okay, let's go to Grant Napier and Doug Christie, who are on the court. And we go to them on the court in Philadelphia, and they're like, "We don't know what's going to happen here. We think it's probably going to get canceled, but they're not telling us what's happening. Back to you guys."
Nah.
Kick it back to us. And we sat there,
vamp,
and rehashed, came up with new things to talk about on TV. It was like an hour and 37 minutes.
Oh, my God.
It kept going and going and going. About 40 minutes in, I got a text like from a source that said, "Hey, game will be canceled, but the NBA won't cancel it yet. They're trying to see if they can save it so they don't have to pay for the, you know, it's super expensive to reboot and do another game at a later date." So they're like, "Hey, just keep going. And as soon as we can officially tell you, we'll tell you." But it's like, "Hey, we're hearing that there's a high likelihood that the game will not be played tonight, but nothing official from the league yet." We kept going and It was.
That's horrible, dude.
It was such a long pregame show.
Look, and if you're not, again, I hate like complaining about things with this job because this is not pest control.
Yeah.
Where we're climbing under houses. We're not roofing. We're not doing construction. We're not doctors or lawyers. Like, so this is a great job. We love it. But at NBC, when we went to 1 hour pregame shows 1 year.
But that was for Warriors, not for Kings.
Right. No. A's had an hour pregame show at some point.
Okay. Oh, that's brutal for A's.
Right.
Yeah.
An hour where you're structured for the hour is brutal.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot fathom planning a half hour program and then being told, "We need another hour and 7 minutes of this."
It was crazy.
That's...
I mean, we're telling stories. We're just kind of like riffing.
You're doing this.
Yeah. And I mean, basically at that point, again, the video we're getting is like DeMarcus Cousins had the mopper and he's walking up and down the court, mopping the floor, trying to get the moisture off the floor. And then I know it was Kostas Koufos who literally went and said, "Hey, we're not playing on this tonight." And they're like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "We're not, like, we're professional
athletes.
Let's
be real here.
We're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
That there's something wrong with the floor. It's so slippery that someone's going to blow out a knee, someone's going to tear a groin, not be able to stop and go into the crowd. Like, something bad's going to happen. We need to call it." And so eventually they said, the Kings, like, from what I know, refused to go out on the court.
Smart.
And so, yeah. So I'm here for, like, go ahead and cancel the game. But they dragged it out, right?
Well, and especially, like, I get if it was a regular season game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if this was a regular season game, they would have waited for the storm to pass.
Yeah.
But they understand that it's the Hall of Fame game. I understand the players don't want to be there, the coaches don't want to be there, the fans barely even want to be there.
Well, that, and if there's any sign of lightning, you got a bunch of dudes standing there in metal helmets.
Yep.
Like, no.
No. No chance. That just doesn't, that doesn't work, man. I just...
But the kickoff happened, right?
Yeah.
I missed it.
I was fine with the kickoff rules.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of potential. I think they had some hiccups last night. I think it's going to be a problem all year I don't want to say all year because this always happens where it looks like something in the NFL is going to be this huge catastrophic problem. It comes up a few times in the first 6 weeks and then it's not a problem anymore because teams and players adjust. You can't move. Nobody moves until the ball is struck. So until the kicker puts his boot through the football, players can't move. So there were some false starts last night. I think the weather led to some slipping and falling and maybe the plays not being as
crisp,
fun as they could have been. Yeah. But overall, I love the idea, and you can see the vision. It looks more like a football play than just launching it out of the back of the end zone. And
okay.
I think it's going to be cool. I think once teams start to learn it and game plan it, and they just have the very basics down, like not moving until the ball is kicked, I think there's real opportunity and real potential that the new kickoff rule could be a ton of fun.
I thought it wasn't until the ball is either touched or hits the ground that they can't move. Like everyone else can't move.
I'm sorry. Yes. Yes, that's okay. Correct.
So the guy's standing back there waiting for the ball.
You're right.
But as soon as either the ball hits the ground, and if the ball hits the ground between the 20 and the end zone and in play,
yes,
game on. It's a live ball, and yes, you got to return it. Like, yep. And if it goes into the end zone, you have to actually down it for a touchback, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then it goes out to the 20, and then if it goes out of the end zone, it goes to the
30, I think.
30, and if it goes out of the side, it goes to the 40.
Yeah, which has always been the case.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting. Like, I want to see it, like, the functionality of
what's been really, what's been fascinating is, like, I know the 49ers, and I'm sure every other team, I've not been as dialed in other teams' training camps, but the Niners are running this, like, every day in practice.
Mm.
They're running different combinations of kick returners. They're running different combinations of blockers, trying to figure out the best way to operate the new kickoff. I do think it's gonna change some games this year.
Okay.
I think at some point there's going to be, whether it's Debo Samuel or Christian McCaffrey or Tyreek Hill or Devon Achane or whoever. I just named Niners and Dolphins. But some team is going to have a really good kick returner that changes games in a Dante Hall, Devin Hester vein.
Okay.
I really think that's going to happen.
No, I think it's going to be the team that figures it out at first is going to be the one that, like, takes off. And mm-hmm. we'll probably have, like, two or three teams that are really, really good at it early on. How are we going to score this in fantasy? I think that's going to be interesting. Cause
I imagine you just get, if the player scores a touchdown, if you have Tyreek Hill and he goes for a touchdown on a kick return, I imagine you get 6 points.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you can't do yards.
You can't do yards.
No chance.
No.
I tried that in a fantasy league once. It was terrible.
Oh, kickoff just, yards and punt
yeah,
return
yards?
Yeah,
because just randos are all of a sudden your leading scores. Like Steve Breston was like our league MVP.
Oh, no.
He had a nice year with the Cardinals, but it was a lot of the kick return stuff. Tyler Jennings brings up in the chatty house, less injuries too, hopefully. Yeah, that would be the most ideal for sure. All right. That's the Hall of Fame game. That's as much as you're getting from me. I wouldn't be surprised if the NFL at some point eliminated preseason altogether.
Really?
Yeah. It might not be the next CBA or even the one after that, but I think at some point it's going to reach a level of teams not playing players and the fan interest going away entirely.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be enough. Maybe there's enough backups and maybe there's enough Brock Purdy's in the world and enough randos like late round picks like Max Crosby who tear it up in preseason and get people excited. Maybe that's enough to keep it around, but I think coaches are caring less and less about the actual preseason games
mm-hmm.
And more about like joint practices and scrimmaging against another team.
Yeah, yeah.
That it might just be done away with altogether.
That's interesting.
We've already cut one game.
You kind of need it though. You kind of need to let these sixth round picks and seventh mm-hmm. round picks and undrafted players like show you what they can do on an actual field.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked with the 18 game schedule though if they cut another preseason game.
Yeah.
And make it only two. I think that's what Kyle Shanahan has typically said. Like he would like two preseason games.
Okay.
And I think that if you're gonna have to have them, I think that's the right number. So
yeah, I'd like to see a little build up, but that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. NFL preseason, it's coming up. The Niners' first preseason game is on the 10th, next Saturday. Fired up. Can't wait. Football is almost back. It is not back now, though. I've got some more preseason stuff we can get to for sure. Top 10 NFL players in the NFL Top 100 will be announced tonight. I think we know who the 10 are. I think you and I
narrowed
through
it
today. I think we've got all 10. Team USA men's basketball in action tomorrow at Puerto Rico, or against Puerto Rico. And the Golden One Center, excuse me, 3-2-1. Golden One Center ranked where? In a list of all the MLB, NFL, and NBA stadiums. We'll tell you next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle, he's James. Let's do the keyword. We're doing the keyword now, so don't forget about it.
Okay.
We're giving away 2 tickets right now to the River Cats game on August 16th. We've got a suite, ESPN 1320 does, and we're inviting you. Win your tickets at ESPN1320.com. You'll see the contest page. At the contest page, there's going to be an entry form, and you're going to want the keyword pitch. Keyword is pitch, as in first pitch.
Pitch perfect.
Pitch a tent.
Sales pitch.
You did not say pitch a tent. Kyle!
I hate this station so much.
Kyle!
Pitch, nope. Pitch. I got nothing else.
There's something called a pitch pipe.
Sure.
Like the little thing you,
sure.
You know, get
pitch
the sea going.
Ing wedge.
There you go. Oh, Kyle, are you just packing your bag and leaving?
Yeah, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. No, I'm getting some water.
Oh, Kyle. There you go. Jason in
Jason A. Mattress.
Pitch, please.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Definitely. I like that. That's funny.
Russ in the chatty house asked about fantasy football and if we've done any fantasy drafts yet. We have not, or at least I have not.
No, so my fantasy draft is always the Monday of Labor Day. Either Sunday or Monday of Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We wait until the final preseason game is over because you want to make sure that someone doesn't get hurt in that final preseason game and someone drafts somebody super high.
Right.
But it always happens. Like I think one year we drafted Gus Edwards because it looked like he was a starter for Baltimore. And then he blew out his knee on the first practice after the last preseason game.
Brutal. And J.K. Dobbins.
Before that, though, well, J.K. Dobbins, yes, but then Edwards did it too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, tough luck for Ravens running backs the last few years. I have not done a fantasy draft yet. I think mine is August 25th. It's after the Monday after the last preseason game because it's a dynasty draft. It's only three rounds.
Okay.
And you can only draft players who are on waivers or rookies. So it's super fun, totally different kind of strategy. But this draft happens over Facebook Messenger because it's people scattered all over the country. And it can take, apparently last year's flu, we got through it in like less than 24 hours. And it was like this massive accomplishment. They said they've had some that have taken like 5 or 6 days.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, because you get if the person with the ninth pick is just not around or available, it just sits there. There's no timer.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough way to go.
We have a couple of interesting rules in our draft.
Okay.
So first up, every year the team that wins, the three division winners redraft divisions.
Mm-hmm.
We allow teams to choose their draft position. So the last place team from the previous year gets their first choice.
So they draft positions.
So they can be number one, they can be number 12. You know, someone likes to go at the end of the draft. Somebody mm-hmm. likes to be in the middle.
And you snake it?
Yeah, we do a serpentine draft. And then your the draft position, though, so say we also, so we have a two-man keeper league. But you can keep 0, 1, or 2. And if you don't keep anybody, then you enter the draft early. Got me? So the first two rounds are basically the keeper rounds. But if you keep one player and you're the ninth pick, you would have like the third pick in the second round. So, but it's not difficult once you get it going. So, yeah, if you don't keep anyone and you're the first pick, you could technically have two picks before anyone else selects, but you're choosing from a pool of players that are missing all of the other
all the guys, all the keepers.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So, but a couple rules like that where again, we came in second place last year. We lost the Super Bowl, so we're gonna have like the 11th choice, and so we're gonna basically.
You're gonna pick like 8th.
We're going to choose whatever's left.
Right.
The best of whatever's left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Picking in the middle of the first round stinks. I hate it so much.
Yeah.
Because you don't get the turn, which is always nice when you go from 12 then back to the top of the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's always nice to hit that turn. But when you're picking 8th, it's like you got to wait, or 7th or whatever.
Yeah.
You got to wait. Okay. Now you're picking from a pool. You're not getting one of the elite guys. But then once you pick, and then you got to wait till it comes.
That's why we've been using the strategy to load up on wide receivers.
Sure.
Because chances are we're not going to get a frontline starter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know, frontline starters in the NFL running back wise, there's like two or three guys that are doing like crazy things. Everyone else is just kind of mid.
Yeah, and I'm guessing any good running back is probably already on a team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then we have, so we'll draft just a ton of wide receivers. Last year, I think we had either 5 or 6 guys who broke 1,000 yards.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, we're stacked. But then this year, I'm going to lose all those guys. So,
of course.
Yeah, you know.
That's fine.
We'll keep CeeDee Lamb, but we won't be able to, like, keep Puka.
Are you worried about CeeDee Lamb? That he hasn't been in camp yet?
No, I don't think so. I think it'll figure itself out. I mean, maybe, and at the last second, if we have to change and keep Puka, maybe we would, but I don't know.
Huh. Okay. So you're gonna drop Puka Nacua?
I have to.
Like on purpose?
Well,
You have to?
It's either that or I don't keep Mahomes.
I would punt Mahomes into Neptune.
Yeah, but do you think that? But like we've made the Super Bowl 4 times in the last 6 seasons. We've won the Super Bowl twice, and a lot of it is Mahomes.
Okay.
Like he wasn't great last year, but I think his receiving corps is better this year.
Okay.
So, and not great, he's still like the number 3 or 4 quarterback in the league.
All right. Are you in on kickers in fantasy?
Yeah, we do kickers, but we used to have a cool backup kicker rule. Have you ever heard of backup
kicker?
No. So you would have to put in your backup kicker as well as like, so you have your starter, but then your backup kicker. And if you tie, it goes to the backup kicker.
Hilarious.
So
just really putting the importance on the kicker.
Yeah. It was just a fun way to basically flip a coin.
Break
right?
a tie. Love that.
And if you got to Monday and you knew that you were like your backup kicker,
mm-hmm.
like was playing someone else and the other guy, the other mm-hmm. kicker might be available. You could drop one kicker and pick up the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I'm in on kickers. I'm out on defense.
Mm.
Team defense, individual player defense. I don't want to deal with that when I'm playing fantasy, dude.
Well, it's fun because Faraz Siddiqui hates defense. He won't even talk about it. He won't talk
it's
kickers.
It's my favorite bit.
He won't talk kickers. He won't talk defense.
And my favorite bit.
He begrudgingly talks tight ends. Like, it's not one of his favorite things to talk.
I'd be interested to see if that's changed this year because the position is more loaded than it's been the last decade.
It took us like 3 weeks, 4 weeks into the, well, maybe it was 3 weeks into our, having Faraz on mm-hmm. to realize that he is a genius. Like,
smart guy.
The Laporta stuff where he started telling us in preseason, like he went deep into the crazy, like he's targeted 95% of the time when he's mm-hmm. running a route. We're like, whatever, man. Then you get into the regular season and there he is. He's getting targeted all game long. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, he was fully on to something here. So that's one of those things where you're like, either a guy knows his stuff or he doesn't. And mm-hmm. he was clearly like up to like.
Yeah, Sam Laporta was a good prospect. Laporta is a really, really fun player.
Yeah.
He's one of the reasons I think you're going to hear Faraz be more in on the tight end position this year.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of guys who could be good there. I just, this league I'm in, they do team defense.
Mm-hmm.
Which is annoying.
Yeah.
Because that's just matchups. I'm not smart. I just go, let's see. The Bengals are playing the Jets this week. I'm going to pick up the Bengals defense.
Yeah.
Like it's not a fun thing. I don't like it. Individual players even worse. Separation between the best individual player and the worst one was like 4 points. And I just, it is the most, I lost this week because I forgot to bench my linebacker who's on bye.
Yeah.
I don't want it. That's not why I'm playing fantasy.
So we do independent defensive players, and we have for 2 decades at least. It used to be difficult because you'd have to go find the stats for the dude and do the scoring yourself. And then slowly more and more of the program started adding individual defensive players into like the system.
Mm-hmm.
I like it though, because you know, if you have a good team from top to bottom, like I kind of go with the strategy that I know I'm going to get 25 points ish from my star quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that I've got 2 running backs that I hope will get around 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
And then I try to load up with as many 10 point guys as possible. So I would prefer like having 6 guys that usually are around 10, then one guy that busts out for 30 one week.
I'm going to be totally honest with you.
Yep.
Don't care.
Yeah?
I'm out on individual defense. I don't care about the strategy.
That's not what I'm talking about. I mean my regular lineup.
No,
I'm not talking about defensive players.
Okay, good. Okay, carry on. Now I care again.
Defensive players, IDP, I go back every like 2 or 3 weeks and I look and who's available and who's leading the league in scoring, because some rando is always leading the league in scoring and
point.
I drop one guy and I pick someone else up.
Right. There's not like a strategy to it. It's who's scoring most points. Get him. There's not like a thought process. I lost a game last year because I had 2 individual defensive players on bye and I didn't cut them and add new ones. It's just like, what a dumb thing.
That's
funny. A dumb thing. I hate it. So I'm out.
Yeah, but I mean, It's no, like if you nope, didn't start nope. a tight end.
Right, like, but at least a tight end is like a part of the game. Is part of the game, the fantasy.
I get you. I think the reason why I love fantasy football
okay.
is because it makes you appreciate players around the league, not just the 53 guys on your roster, right?
Yeah.
And I think that when you bring in independent defensive players, it makes you appreciate the defensive side of the ball a little bit more. So even if you're watching a game, you're like, man, I don't think I have anyone going in this game. So, oh, no, like I have Justin Simmons going. And you're like, oh, there he is.
Come on, Justin!
Yeah, you're like, hey, I might as well watch that guy. So, I don't know. It just adds, like, another couple of players that you want to, like, kind of follow.
I cannot believe he is not on a team.
That's wild, isn't it?
He is still really good.
I know.
Broncos cut him because he was too expensive.
Too expensive, and now he can't get a job.
No, he's just out. Maybe he's telling teams he doesn't want to participate in camp.
That's possible.
Yeah, I mean, that could definitely happen.
Hmm.
But I'm just, he was, where'd he rank in the NFL top 100? Like 58th?
Oh, really?
Something like that? He's way up there. It might not be 58, but he's in the top 100.
Okay.
And he doesn't even have a team.
That to me is wild.
One of the best safeties in the sport.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if just Lou Dort was a free agent and just nobody signed him?
That's wild. Well, that's I mean, it's kind of like the Tyus Jones thing. He's just sat there
Lou
forever
Dort was
and
such
ever
a
and
great
ever.
Comp just now. That was yeah. on the fly, too.
There you go.
Yeah. You Tyus know, Jones.
Tyus Jones just waited and waited and waited for, you know, starting. If I'm the Niners, I'm looking at him. Like, if you don't think your safeties are going to be A, healthy or be, like, up to snuff, like, why not?
Yeah. I don't want to go deep on the Niners safety depth chart because I don't want to bore people's brains out of their ears.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I think there's a chance that they're good at that position. I also think there's a chance that we're sitting here in week five going, hey, they're 2-3 and they can't stop an explosive play to save their lives.
Mm.
And that I think is very much on the table.
Okay.
But they've also been telling safeties that there's no starting job available. So
what does that even mean? What does it even mean, Kyle?
It means they're confident Talanoa Hufanga is going to come back. They like Jair Brown, and that's going to be the two starters.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
All right. We'll have to see how it goes.
I don't know.
I love fantasy football. We are going to have Firas Siddiqui on all season long. That's the plan, at least as of right now. And we're going to do Fantasy Fridays. So I think it's spectacular. It's absolutely spectacular. Yeah. If you would like to sponsor Fantasy Fridays, you can reach out to
Reach out to us.
Us.
We'll reach out to us. We'll put you in touch with the proper parties.
Yeah, james.ham@odyssey.com. Odyssey.com.
AUDACY.
Yes, there it is.
It's not that someone said, I'm with Kyle, I don't care, let's talk real betting instead. Fantasy football talk. I like fantasy football talk. I thought you were talking about IDP still.
Oh,
I missed your pivot.
No, my pivot was like if I'm like building a team, what I want out of my defensive players, like I need them to get 12 to 15 points every week.
Combined.
So I want them to combine for, like my goal every week is to have like one 25-point guy, one 18-point guy, which is like my second keeper, mm-hmm. and then as many 10-point guys as possible. So I want my kicker to be around 10. My tight end's never around 10 because I usually wait way too long.
Mm-hmm.
But my, you know, flex positions or wide receivers or RB1, RB2, whatever it is, like the more 10-point guys I have, like I always feel like the more solid your team is.
Yeah.
And that's how I try to build my team. And so those defensive
you
players.
You try and raise the floor.
Yeah. 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 My floor is always real. I don't have like those 30 or 40 point weeks very often, like once every 3 years where you just have a disaster week. That doesn't usually happen. But I also don't bank on guys like A-Chain going out there and miss a whole bunch of time.
Yeah.
When he's there, you got 30 plus points. When he's not, you're like, man, you don't even know if you can start him week to week. I don't bank on those guys.
Yeah. It's tough. Shifting gears, let's talk basketball.
Okay.
Team USA plays Puerto Rico tomorrow at 8:15 a.m. And like you said, Fantasy Friday coming up with Firas Siddiqui. We will probably begin that the Friday after the preseason ends so we can start getting people ready for drafts.
Okay.
I think that's probably the move. Anyways, tomorrow, more importantly, Team USA versus Puerto Rico, 8:15 a.m. Team USA men looking to go perfect 3-0 in the group stage. I need a blowout in this game.
I don't think that's going
to
be a problem.
I need them to thump Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
I can't, but like, I know that the world has caught up basketball-wise, but I can't have this be the Steve Kerr experiments with a bunch of weird stuff game, and at halftime they're up 12, and they get it to 18, but then they're hanging around. I can't have it go like the South Sudan game did. Where it was a blowout. They won by, what, 16, 17, whatever the final was there?
Yeah.
But it was closer than that. I need them to run Puerto Rico off the floor.
I kind of have... Okay, so I think that they are going to run Puerto Rico off the floor no matter what. I'm kind of the opinion that this is a game where you start a different starting five and you give Steph Curry a bunch of time off. Maybe you don't play Steph. This is a game where I want like Tyrese Halliburton playing a ton of minutes. Just like, why not? Like Puerto Rico,
man,
like they don't have a bunch of, well, I don't think they have any NBA players. I don't believe. Like, I will watch the game to see.
Alvarado's on the team, but apparently he's hurt.
Oh, okay. All right. I would like to see like Isaiah Pinheiro play, which, you know, Kings legend, Isaiah Pinheiro.
And, your guy.
You know, like Placer High School.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, like, I'm like, okay, this isn't good. They're not competitive. They have not been competitive in any of the games that they've played.
Yeah.
They're gritty. They kind of, you know, are physical. But outside of that, this is a game where you should win big. And I think this, if you're Team USA, you should just start, you know, giving, like, take this as like almost a practice game, like a tune up to the next stage. That's how I would handle this. And make sure that, like, Halliburton, who has barely played, gets a bunch of minutes. And now Jason Tatum gets another start, that kind of stuff.
That's the thing, is I said I don't want it to be an experiment game, but it could be an experiment game, and they'd still be awesome.
I don't want them to experiment with, like, play sets and weird stuff. I just think it's one of those games where you got 12 men on the roster. Mm-hmm. Like, go pretty deep here and give guys a shot to start an Olympic game that maybe wouldn't get that opportunity normally.
Maybe build a lead before you start trying to force Joel Embiid touches.
Okay.
That's all.
Yeah.
Just build that lead first. That's what I would like to see.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Joel Embiid, do you think that the plan moving forward is going to be to have him on the bench?
Kind of has to be. I mean, I don't know. You're going to play...
That's so crazy.
You're going to play a couple of teams that, you know, aren't the fast teams that are, you know, big teams, and you might need him.
Yeah.
Like, again, if he's up against Jokic, I kind of want him out on the court.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, I don't know. We're watching Canada. I mean, they barely squeaked by and beat Spain this morning. Rudy Fernandez retired after the game officially. Like, if you didn't know that Rudy Fernandez was still
playing
basketball.
Congrats to Rudy Fernandez. What a guy.
I don't think Rudy Fernandez...
Is he 40?
I don't think he's played...
I feel like he was in the league in 2001.
2012 is when he retired. Well, is when he went back to Europe. So 12 years ago. Yeah, so Rudy Fernandez...
When was his rookie year?
08-09.
Okay.
And then, so he only played 4 years in the NBA. He was so much fun.
Really?
Though. Yeah, I thought he played longer too. But he's been
Rudy Fernandez was only in the NBA for 4 seasons?
Yeah. 3 in Portland, 1 in Denver. Averaged 9.1 points for his career. He was so much fun though.
He was?
Yeah, he flew off of like ball screens and stuff and like always off balance threes. He was a good time. Yeah.
I would have sworn he was in the league longer than that. That's wild.
He had it looked like he modeled his game after like Rex Chapman. Like he was just fun. He was.
One of my controversial opinions is that Rex Chapman's Twitter account is awful.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was a consensus opinion until I brought it up at a different station I used to work at. And it was like, I just said I hate dogs.
Oh, no.
It was insane. Like, he doesn't do anything. He takes other people's videos and goes, dogs, bruh. Or
blocker,
wow.
Blocker charge.
Blocker charge. Super funny at first.
Yes.
But then it turned into whatever.
He lost his way.
Taking videos and just captioning them the same way. Not even creating a funny thing about it.
Yeah.
Dogs, bruh. Like, okay, yeah, no, we get it. That's what the original post is about. That this dog is awesome. Just retweet it.
Yeah.
Oh, people are like, oh, Rex, classic Rex. He's not doing anything.
He stole someone else's stuff.
He's stealing someone's video. And if you want to jack someone's video, and let's say somebody puts out a video of watch Keegan Murray on these dribble handoffs, and you want to point out something happening on that De'Aaron is doing away from the ball, and you take that video and you go, hey, this is this video, but watch De'Aaron on X, Y, and Z play here and watch what he does. Fine. If there's something, a funny viral video going around and you take that and you're like, hey, I have a funny joke to make about this. I'm gonna add something to the post. Fine. But when you're just taking a post about a sweet ass pup who's going around and kissing babies or saving rabbits or whatever the heck that dog is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that caption on that video is like, check out this awesome dog being awesome. And then you take that video and post it and go, dogs, bruh. Like, you've...
Yeah, so I liked him initially, but then he lost his way for a little while. And I'm like, yeah, I'm blown. Yeah, like, no. I'm
sure he's
I'm
a great guy.
You.
Sure, he's a great human.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about him.
He's been very honest about like his issues with substance abuse and stuff. Like
sure.
His story is pretty cool.
Sure.
Just sort of the redemption story. But
love it for him.
At the same time.
Couldn't love it more for him.
Yeah, he's lost his way quite a few times where it's like, oh yeah, I don't think I want
his
you
Twitter
in my
account
timeline.
Is not good.
No, I don't want you in my timeline anymore.
This happened so long ago. I don't know what has been going on in his timeline. It was the video theft for me.
Yeah.
That really just And people being like, oh, Rex, he's the best follow on Twitter.
No,
he's not.
The best follow on Twitter still is it Josiah Johnson? Is that what
Josiah Johnson's pretty funny.
Yeah, that to me is one of the best follows on Twitter.
I think you're one of the best follows on Twitter, James.
What?
You're welcome.
I don't even know.
There used to be this account called Real Carrot Facts that was my favorite account in the world.
Okay.
I can't even describe it. Go look it up. Real Carrot Facts. It's outrageous. It's so silly and it's so dumb, but it hits my funny bone and I'm so sad that they don't post anymore.
Carrot? Like?
Carrot. Like a carrot. Like the vegetable.
Okay.
It's post fake carrot facts, but the way they type, there's like misspellings. And then there's this person saying that they miss Megan. It's really, really funny.
But then for a long time, they haven't posted, so.
Yes, correct. That person understood that the joke had run its course.
Oh.
And they left.
They ran out of content.
Yeah. They should have just stolen some like Rex Chapman. Then they could have been the best account on Twitter.
Well, I mean, if there were other carrot videos out there for them to steal.
Real carrot videos. Videos of carrots.
Wild, right. Wild.
Josiah Johnson associated with Gilbert Arenas. Oh, I'm out.
Oh, no.
I'm out. Hey, can we get, I know it's part of the shtick, but can we get Worldwide Wob some actual video editing software? So this Twitter account with a bajillion followers who people go to for like NBA videos.
Yeah.
Isn't posting photos or videos of recording his television or his computer screen?
I think that's part of the shtick.
No, I know it is. I would like it to not be part of the shtick anymore.
Yeah, he needs to like
grow up.
Go find Ben Golliver, and Ben Golliver will show you how to do that.
Yeah, he's been doing this for 15 freaking years now.
Yeah.
Go do something different.
Amazing.
Anyway. Okay. I'm done whining about the internet. NFL Top 100 is out. James and I. The top 10 hasn't been announced yet. We're going to tell you what the top 10 is, though.
Okay.
We got some inside information, and by that, I mean we used our brains and decided what players are going to be in the top 10. We'll talk about that. And we also got to talk about where Golden 1 Center ranked on this list of all the NBA, NFL, and MLB stadiums, because the ranking will shock you. It's coming up next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.